don't know if it happened to you like this, but just after I got saved, it seemed like all hell broke loose. I don't know about your experience, but not long after I saved and just started preaching, all hell broke out in the lives of my father and me and my two brothers. And we stuck it out. And it was because I had a daddy that didn't fear. I seen my daddy stand up to men that stole our cows, every one of them. I thought my daddy was either going to die or another man die. He was a crippled man, but he wasn't afraid of nothing. We need daddies like that. We need daddies that are fearless. You may not believe this. You believe whatever you want to. This is not political. This is the world reality message. We've got a president that's not afraid. And all the men in the United States need to take an example for him. He's not afraid to do right. He don't study like, well, you know, what's going to happen. You know, but anyway, I won't say no more about that, but I'm going to tell you this much. When you get saved, and we talked about conversion cheer last week. We talked about how Jesus said, you know, when we get saved, that fella was in the bed and he couldn't walk. And the first thing Jesus said to him when they led him down through the roof, he said, "Be of good cheer, son. Thy sins are forgiven thee." He said, "Well, what about my legs? You know, I thought they come to get me where I could walk." Well, which one had you rather do? Had you rather walk on earth and go to hell, or had you rather have your sins forgiven and never walk? So what's the most important thing? And it's salvation cheer. We need that. In the end of these messages, and it's turned into about five messages, four at least. Salvation cheer, conversion cheer. But right today, we're talking about, just for a little bit, we got a little late start, and you'll just have to forgive me, but I need to preach this message. I need to preach catastrophic cheer. When I got saved, I don't know how it was with you, but when I got saved, it was not long after that I had catastrophe all around me. That's the devil. And he's trying to knock you out of the saddle. And he keeps trying to do that. But in Acts chapter 27, Paul was traveling to Rome. He was traveling to Rome. That's where, you know, one of the leaders there in Jerusalem area, I can't remember their names, one of the kings said, and I'm going to paraphrase, he said, it might have been okay with Paul if he just hadn't appealed to Caesar. He's a Roman citizen. And he appealed to Caesar, and it was all in the will of God. And that means he had to take a trip across the Mediterranean Sea to get to Italy, to get to Rome, to see Caesar appealing to the courts of the high man that was ruling the world at that time for the cause of Christ. He appealed to Caesar. And on that trip across the Mediterranean Sea, they came into something called a Euroclydon. And a Euroclydon is an eastern wind that blows in the Middle East, and sometimes it becomes very, very violent. And when it does, there's catastrophe. There's catastrophic, there's occasion, instead of having catastrophic cheer, they're having catastrophic fear. And my friends, when it hits you, when a Euroclydon hits you, and it does, you can't sit here, there ain't no person that's trying to serve God that could stand before me and look me in the eye and say, "I've never had a Euroclydon in my life." You have. How you face it? The fear of cheer. Make it not strange concerning the trial of your faith that it be some strange thing that happened in them. that it comes to terrify and to test you. And it also comes to that you can give a witness to people that see you and know you for the glory of God. Now, this east wind, it was a storm from the east. In the modern phrase, it was a Levanter, L-E-V-A-N-T-E-R. And in the Greek language, it's kluzo. It would spell it in the English language, K-L-U-Z-O. Kalpha, lambda, u, z, omicron. And it means to billow and to dash over. Okay? It's not just to like a little white capper out here on Weiss Lake. It's something that blows all over you. There it is. And that's what they were in. And Levanter means a strong easterly wind peculiar to the Mediterranean. And Levant, L-E-V-A-N-T, means rising of the, it means literally the rising of the sun. And the when the sun comes up, you don't know what's going to happen. You do not know when you get out of bed every morning. Y'all still out of bed, eh? I mean, y'all are out of bed. Okay. Are you dreaming about bed? You don't know when you get up in the morning. You don't know what's coming from the east. Now, keep it in mind that when a Euroclimbing comes, it comes from the east. And everything in the Bible that has to do with directions, it's God coming from the east. And the idea is God knows about it. And God sends it. And God has a reason why. And he don't want you to fear. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the king. Fear not, little flock. Don't fear, but cheer. That's a hard statement. I don't know how in the world that I could be one of those mothers down at Children's Hospital right now could cheer looking at a baby that might not live. I don't know. I hope I'm never there. I hope that I am never there. Levantor is an anatomy term that means a muscle that serves to raise some part. Your operations, man. You had to lift up your right left arm or your right arm. You had to lift your left arm up. And you're not going to have to do that anymore. Great operation. But you see, it's something that's lifted up. And God's the only one that can lift up a storm. I mean, they can say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do. The scientists and all that, they can put grain, seeds, whatever they want to do, might make it sprinkle a little bit, but that's a facade. They can't make a tornado. They can't make a tsunami. They can't make a hurricane, but God can. And God does. And God has a reason. He has a reason. Look at this. Got to read the Bible, don't we? We've been sort of reading it in our minds because I know what it says. In 27 verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion. That's a man. That's a centurion is an officer over 100 people. A centurion of Augustus's band, Caesar's band. And entering to a ship, you're going to have to spell that for me, and ran by Antioch. And launched, I'm glad we got through that word. We launched meaning. They had a plan. But their plan got discouraged. Get up in the morning, it's a rising, as the sun rises, and that You're a cloud and wind blows from the east and it comes from God and God makes a new day and you got plans. And all of a sudden, you see something's happening. It says we determining we launched meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Aristarchus is a whole other message. And we're going to look at him. And we're going to follow him through the New Testament as he works with Paul. That's another message. But you see, they had determined and they had meant to do this day. How many of you can say and admit that you get up in the morning and the sun rises and you're determined you have meaning to do this today and all day long you don't even get the wish? Maybe the next day. Huh? Is that not right? Got every question I've asked you today, Paul. No more. You have to be like on the cross of fire, chapter 1, wait. But anyway, whatever his name is, it'll get me in a minute. Favor. Gil Favor. Gil Favor is the boss. Martha, I don't want to hear it. So, Gil Favor is the boss, and Gil Favor, Rowdy comes up to him and says, "Boss, you know at these restaurants, you know what a lot of them call me, boss man? I mean, it's just a natural. Does any of them call y'all boss man? What about boss woman? They don't do that. What you need, boss man?" So Rowdy comes up to him and says, what's the plan for the day, Mr. Favor?" And they called him Mr. Favor. Not one of them ever called him Gil. He was the leader. He was like just basically fearless. Y'all ought to see that. Y'all ought to watch Rawhide. It'll help you guys. And it helps me. And so he said, "What are we going to do?" You know what Mr. Favor said? "We're just going to see how the day falls. And there's nothing absolutely you can do when the day falls if it changes your plan. There is nothing you can do but just follow along with the leader." Get right. "Boy, you'll be happy. You can be happy. You can have cheer." I'm wanting to give you the definitions of cheer, but I got to save that to the very, very, very last. Let's see. What was it? I hated pep rallies. I didn't want to go to them. At Disco, I had to go to them. When I got to Hoax Bluff, I was through with pep rallies. But I had to go at Disco. 1, 2, 3, 4. How's it go? Dollar. Something dollar. 2 bits, 4 bits, $1. 2 bits, 4 bits, $1. All for Disco, stand up and holler. And everybody stood up and hollered except me. I didn't want to go to cheerleaders. Cheer. Wait a minute. Cheer. What do you call it? Cheer. Pep rallies. I finally went to it with a cheerleader here. Help me, Kenzie. Got to work with combined insurance for 26 years. They'd get up there and ring cowbells and try to motivate people to have a pep rally in our business. Guess who didn't stand up? I'm Mr. No Cheer. I'm Scrooge. I said, if my family don't motivate me enough to go out and work, ringing a cowbell ain't going to help me win the match. Maybe Kathy with a one of them electric prods every morning. Get me out of the house. Well, that's so true. This is so real. Verse 3 says, the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. He was a prisoner going to Rome. And some theories of interpretation say that's where he got his head chopped off. He never made it to Spain. I don't know. But he did eventually from Nero get his head chopped off. But it might have very well been that he never got to Spain. But he got his head chopped off in that Roman guard there. And it says, look, he gave him liberty. You know why? To go see his friends. Here's a prisoner that if he lost that prisoner, guess what would happen to Julius? He'd lose his life. What a testimony that Paul had with that captain. He let, go see your friends. Paul could have. You mean how stupid some things are? Y'all may listen to Wax Radio some, but there's a, that every once in a while, there's so many of them podcasts that drives me crazy. Commercials and podcasts. Them podcasts come on Wax Radio. I listen to Wax Radio because it's got conservative news on it. And there's this story about this guy that he called his name all the way. I don't remember it. I've heard it 10 million times. But he was in prison with some other guys, and they got four or five of them together. And they did a test. And the test was that they took them to a mall. They put them on civilian clothes. And they let them walk around in that mall on their own. And all of them came back but one. And they've not found him till this day. And he's guilty of murder. That would be me if I was Paul. I'd say, God, you've opened the door for me to run. Because I may be getting my head cut. In Revelation, it talks about something. I can't bring up the exact quote, but it talks about they love not their lives unto death. That's the tribulation saints. They love not their lives unto death. They were so devout and so fearless, and they will be, that's future, that they give their lives knowing they're going to die if they don't receive the mark. And I'd have been gone, Spook. I mean, I'm thinking, well, centuries away. Where's Paul? I don't know. I ain't seen him. Last time I seen him, he was getting on a Greyhound bus. You know? Took an airline ticket. He's gone. He's in another country. How much can God trust you, friends? How much can he trust us? Well, I'm not there yet. I mean, I just confessed. What would you do? I want to come back, or I'll come back an hour early. Okay, you're a better person than I am. You know, but anyway, the next day we touched a side and Julius and Curlish and entreated Paul, gave him liberty to go with his friends to refresh himself. And we had launched from thence. We sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. My father-in-law was in Cyprus one time. Not only that, here they are. I'm just going to go through this story, not home today. I'm going to stop in just a moment. I ain't even got to the what I was intending to say exactly. Verse 4, and when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. So they're being redirected. I preached a message one time on sail on, and sometimes the wind ain't even blowing, and sometimes it's blowing favorably, sometimes it's blowing too hard in the right direction. I mean, and then sometimes it's blowing contrary, and everything you're trying to do, it's just backwards from what you wanted to do. And I'm trying to reiterate that. And it says, because the winds are contrary, and when we sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lydia, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexander sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So they changed ships. Alexandria, Egypt, was the breadbasket of the world, and no doubt that ship was a carrier, and it was burdened with grain going into Europe. And there they were on that grain ship from Alexandria, another ship. When we sailed slowly, there we go, sailed slowly. I don't know if you're listening to me, but I know, I feel what I'm preaching. Down sometimes, I said, listen, it's been things up, look. Now get on the move, God. What? Who am I? Let's say, speaking. I mean, now, I'm saying, slow down, Lord. Let's just take one moment at a time. I mean, I don't want this day to go by fast. I don't want this week to go by fast. Me and Larry Bishop, my cousin, I got cut. They just start coming to this church. He goes to church. He's a big friend of mine. Me and one of the chicks is talking. They're about women. You with me? I spell with. Women. Everybody. We were talking, remember, Chet, we were sitting down at this table at the lunch. As a matter of fact, thank you, ladies, for everything you did that y'all bragged about. Or maybe where I go back. That's why I love y'all. So, we were sitting at the table after everybody left. We were talking a little bit. Larry's had prostate cancer several years ago. If you ever have prostate cancer and they tell you not to move, don't move. When they're giving you that external radiation. But they didn't have him covered up real good or something. Something come loose and he had his belt on, I reckon, and it burned him. But does that make sense? So I knew about that when I had mine. I said, I ain't moving a muscle. So anyway, he survived that. That's been many years ago. But now, I don't know how old he is, but he's a lot older than me. And Larry, no offense, but, you know, you are older than me. You know that. And Chick's a lot older. So, Larry used to bring he used to bring his three boys to the house with boxing gloves, and they was younger than us. Us Butler boys didn't need boxing gloves. So anyway, right in the living room, my daddy loved boxing, and he'd watch those old boxers on television. He'd get a couple of his buddies in and watching them. I don't know. I don't remember their names. Y'all knew Chick would know them, but they'd watch that boxing. And old Larry'd bring his boys in, and he'd, in the living room there, he'd put them gloves on, let them boys duke it out right there in front of his daddy. Daddy loved every minute of it. I don't know why he got upset if me and my brothers was fine. I don't know why. What's the difference? Larry said, and he's asked me to preach his funeral. And many people have asked me that. Uncle Dennis asked me to preach his funeral. Uncle Travis did. Matter of fact, if y'all know my Uncle Dennis and Uncle Travis, that's two of my heroes. I want to be just like them. I want to be as funny as Uncle Travis and as spiritual as Uncle Dennis. Travis was a witness. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. You know that. He was not ashamed to witness Uncle Travis. And he was a comedian. And Uncle Dennis was somewhat of a comedian, but he is a preacher. You know, a preacher can't just be all kind of comedy act. He went up to J.M. at the funeral home. Uncle Dennis did and said, he was introducing J.M. to somebody else. And he said, I want you to meet J.M. Reeves. He said, okay, J.M. Reeves. He said, let me tell you about J.M. Reeves. He's got two brains. He said, one of them's gone, the other one went looking for it. Was eating down here, that preacher, you need to get more serious. Well, give me just a minute. I'll get real serious. There's a lady down here that was a good friend of ours. We had corn on the table. You know who I'm talking about. Connie Brack. Connie, Uncle Dennis was in line with her table, and there was corn there. He said, "Hey, young lady, you like corn?" She said, "I sure do. I love it." He said, "All hogs do." That come from Uncle Dennis. She come over to Kathy and says, "Did you hear what that man said to me?" Uncle Dennis lived to 92 years old with a good testimony. Uncle Travis died a little bit before him. Good testimony. Followed right through. Aunt Judy, Uncle Travis got where he couldn't even walk. He had dementia. I don't know what it was. His legs is messed up. They wanted me to come over and take me out to eat. And she's got this machine that she pulls up to his chair, and it's some kind of lift thing. It's like a crane. Puts him in it, gets him in the car, and he's driving with no legs. But he was happy till the day he died. He got a little bit out of his mind, just slightly, and I didn't even know it. I didn't catch it because I can't catch up. I'm with him. So me and Abigail went over to see him. Went to Karen Patrick's church, and we went to see Uncle Travis. They had dinner for us. There's a bowl of banana pudding that big. Roger, come here, look here. He's sitting at the table. It's time for dessert. He said, "I'm going to give you some of that banana pudding." He put half that bowl on my plate. Thank you, Uncle Travis. What do you think? I have a pig. He just over. They died happy. They died for cute. And Larry Fisher said right down here, I don't know if you remember, Chief, but he said every day that I want to say everything just right. And I want to do everything just right. Don't you think he's not challenged? He nearly died a few weeks ago. He nearly died. He said, "I want to do everything just right." You don't have to be old thinking you're about to die, but want to do everything different. And that has to do with responding to catastrophe. Catastrophic cheer. Lord, help my soul. Oh, I sure am glad it's not really the right time what it is. And I can't even figure it out, but it's not late. Trust me, it's just 11 o'clock. I'm done for the day, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to pick this right back up. The Lord willing, the Lord tricked me this morning. I stayed up in the midnight hours to preach what I'm going to preach today, and he just changed everything. That's like I'm saying, I had determined that I had to be flexible. Does that make sense? Preacher, you need to stick to your notes. Can't read them half the time. Why do you want me to stick to my notes? You ask the question, why? I'm just going to say that, everything's going good. Everything was going good. Golden Corral. Thank you, Katie. Where's Katie? She's back there sleeping in her sleep. Chicken to sleep up here like everybody else does, Terry. I love that man right there. Do you love me? Can I borrow $50? Maybe you'll give it to me, though. They gave us a Golden Corral card. Did you know she done that? She do that under the table. $50 Golden Corral card. We've done it in Birmingham two days this week. We made it in time for right at 12 o'clock, Golden Corral. That's a good place. And I'm walking around, Kathy, I was talking to people, right? One of these days I'm going to do it. I just stand there and look at people like I'm looking at y'all. One of these days I'm just going to let it get real. I'm going to say, "Hey, y'all, I got something to say." We saw that. Me and Jerry Reeves at Shawnee's down in Atala years ago. Me and Jerry were at that restaurant eating, and there was two, first of all, there was two old ladies. Pardon, they weren't old ladies. And they were sitting on the phone by the table. And they'd been there before we got there, and they were nearly done. They were over halfway done. And one of them said, "You think this is as good as it used to be? That's something wrong. What do you think? It's not what it normally is, and I just don't really think we all pay for these." I'm listening. I'm watching. She told the waitress, we don't feel like we all pay for this. They were women of means. Yeah. And so, he went and got the man. She said, "Hey, we decided this ain't like it normally is, and we don't think we should pay for this." Man that said, "You've done eight half of it. You're going to pay for it." Right. Well, anyway, we were sitting there at another time. You know, me and Jerry spent a lot of time traveling. Well, we're sitting at the same restaurant. Here's this guy from, he was Preacher Joe. He had his Bible. He come in. He just cut loose preaching right there in the restaurant. And I got rid of it. Okay, I'm joking now. But he just cut loose. And the manager with the short guy, maybe a little shorter, may remind me of Chuck Cummins, all-handed. Reminded me a lot of people I'm son of. They cut my baby's hair, and they cut loose. They, if you cut a baby's hair before it's 2 years old, it'll go far. Then it's going to be just like it. I'll get it weird. So, he cuts this cricket up. And that manager comes up trying to stop him. You know what that robust, barely looking preacher that I believe down low. He had his Bible in one hand, he had that guy's head, his other hand skipped it. At the Golden Corral, walking around, got to get something to eat. It was real crowded, and I wasn't in no hurry to get up there. And I walked around there, and there was a man, an older man, sitting at the table, and he had his cap on, and it said the Tuskegee Airmen on it. You ever heard of that? Tuskegee Airmen. And I said, I talked, you know, I guess I already said, I started talking to him. I said, "How would you like the 2 minutes flying one of them missions?" You know what he said? "Our president's got a problem." But, see you later, friend. End of discussion. He's the one with the problem. He's 95 years old. Still apparently in good health. If you've got any question in your mind of why we've been disrupted in our routine and we're having to pay a little bit more for gas, I'm going to tell you what, to support Israel, I'll pay the price. Whatever it takes. Did you know in World War II they rationed? You know that. They rationed tires. They rationed, they even rationed income. You couldn't make over $25,000 a year is the word I know. And of course, that's a lot of money back then. But they did limited income. And they rationed gas. They rationed food to get the job done. Now, if, and I'm going to close right here. I'm suggesting that everybody pull up. Now listen, now this will help. Not that you, I'm not trying to get you to agree with me. I'm just trying to get you to do something. What I'm asking you to do is to appreciate. It'll help you Help your friends that don't understand what's going on. Now listen, man. Mark Levin, last night, in Boston, as you pull it up with it, the first segment, I don't know about the rest of it, but the first segment, Russia, I'm going to tell you, is it 10 days that we're that close to making a nuclear bomb? It's 10 days, I think it's 10 days. Here's it came down to the wire. Russia and Iran tested missiles that flew up into Siberia, 7,000 miles away, which could be reversed and come to the west and right on top of us. Is America first? Should America not be for protecting American citizens? I'm not going to do this, but if you agree with that, stand up. You see, I'm bewildered about how there can be any controversy. I can't understand that kind of reasoning that we should be involved. But you know, say whatever you want to about her, but she's heading up something now that's calling, it's like the Americans. It's about time, ain't it? You got neighborhood watch in your community? What's wrong with that? You got neighborhood watch in the Americas? What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with it, friends. Now, I know I probably took a little turn there, but if things don't seem to be going your way, that could happen any day. You can get up in the morning as the sun comes from the east. Your reclining can come from the east. And you can, everything you planned on. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. It cannot just be for a day. It could be for a lifetime. There's people I saw down at Children's Hospital. Man, it breaks my heart every time I go, and I need to go periodically just to go and to see how thankful I am to have healthy grandkids, Chief. I saw girls, this problem, you saw her, Kathy, when we was getting a badge and all. I got a sticker I got to show y'all, Kathy, that says Kathy Butler, clergy. And it's got her picture. I knew it all the time. She didn't have the guts to tell me she was called. She wasn't called by God. So there's a little girl in a wheelchair over there. She's probably 13 years old. You saw her. You remember seeing her. She's a beautiful child. Her mama was standing there, and some of the relatives were getting their information. She just... And then look around and smile. And I cried in my soul. Why does things like that happen? Won't have to be sad. I see them, you see them in the restaurant, you'll see somebody come in with a child, an adult child. It can't, you know, what's wrong with it? I'm sorry, but I'm gonna tell you this. This is it. As far as I know, this is the last thing I'm gonna say. Things can happen. And you say, well, it'll be okay in a day or two. Things will be back to normal. I'm going to tell you what. It may never be that. I was sitting at Tlacolula. Took me a long time to learn how to say that. Tepet Zinkla. Ron Plotz, my Haiti scholar, he can't say this. He thought everyone in the world would say it. He can't say it, Philip. You and David can say that. Y'all sit there, y'all been with him, walking up the hill by the Catholic Church to the restaurant, some kind of restaurant, right? So we survived. So I was sitting in Tlacolula one night in the office building of Crystal Ray, Dr. Crystal Ray, a medical doctor. His daddy was a doctor, he's a friend of mine. And he had a little shop set up in that little camp. And it was made out of plywood. It was just like plywood walls and whatever thing they used for roof. And it had these big opening windows that you open back like two pieces of plywood together and open up for businesses, one on the side. We're sitting there talking. And just all of a sudden, I thought it was a hurricane. It nearly blowed that building off the map. He jumped up and closed the windows. I said, hurricane, it's not just a little storm. Be over with in a minute. Oh, yeah. Right. And it was. So when we were talking, I was trying to reach him for the Lord. I found that he could speak English good enough, and I could speak Spanish. And he said he had a problem of believing there's a God or a good God. A lot of people believe in a God, but they don't know if they believe in a good God. He said, I've got one question. He said, if there's a God, why do babies have to suffer? Get the food there. Why do they have to suffer? There's a reason. I hope none of us ever have to face that. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. It's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you the food. Some way or another, you can accept what you're going through. God can strengthen you and help you. You can be a good testimony. And let's stand. Thank you for your attention. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I guess I'm just sorry for taking so long. If anybody needs to come and pray, I'm just going to play a little bit on piano. You need to pray for any reason. You come on. Come on, say, it might be you need to. Say, Lord, I need to be able to adjust to what's happening in my life. Lord, I just need some help. And I need to be happy about your will for my life.